Thanks for listening to Sex with Emily. Today's show, I'm interviewing Neil Strauss, best-selling author of many books, including The Game, where he goes undercover to reveal the secret society of pickup artists, and his follow-up book, 10 Years Later, The Truth, an uncomfortable book about relationships. And we uncover a lot of truths. We discuss approaches to therapy that will help you figure out unhealthy relationship patterns, Neil's intense journey from surface-level games to a personal transformation that will inspire you to take a deeper look at yourself. I really respect Neil and how he's articulated his journey, and I so enjoyed this discussion, and I think you're going to get a lot out of it as well. Enjoy the episode.
Look into his eyes. They're the eyes of a man obsessed by sex. Eyes that mock our sacred institutions. Bedroom eyes, they call them in a bygone day.
Hey, Emily, you got a boyfriend?
Because my man E here, he just got his heart broken. He thinks you're kind of cute.
A girl's
got
to have her standards. Oh, my.
Do women know about shrinkage?
Isn't it common knowledge?
What do you mean, like laundry? It shrinks?
Can we not talk about sex so much?
Are you kidding me?
Oh, my God, it feels so good.
Being bad feels pretty good.
But you know, Emily's not the kind of girl you just play with.
You're listening to Sex with Emily. We're talking about sex, relationships, and everything in between. For more information, go to sexwithemily.com. You can check out our podcast. All of my podcasts are there. You know, I've been doing it for 12 years. You can download. There's so much more available there that's even available on iTunes. You can also get it on Google Play, SoundCloud, Spotify, iHeartRadio. That's the latest place. I love when you review us. I like it when you say nice things. I like affirmations, but it's cool. If you want to say not nice things, that's fine too. It helps us to get reviewed. And most importantly, to subscribe to the podcast. Because when you subscribe to the podcast, you know what one of the bonuses, one of the benefits of when you subscribe, you can actually go back to your place. You could like go back to where you were listening. And if you're not a subscriber, that doesn't happen. But also that also helps us so we can continue to keep the podcast free, get more listeners. It's all about subscribe. I don't have to explain that to you. You guys get it. You've been listening. Also, please follow me on social media because that's a really good time. I answer your questions. I like to say hi, but listen, no dick pics. You guys know, like the second there's a dick pic, like you're gone. I delete you from Snapchat and wherever it does, but wherever that happens. But I do love hearing from you, Instagram, Facebook, Snapchat, Twitter. It's all at Sex with Emily. So today I am very excited for my guest, Neil Strauss. Hi, Neil.
Thank you for having me. How many dick pics do you get, actually?
Okay, that's a good question. Yeah, it's funny because my friend was visiting me from Chicago, you know, very different kind of lifestyle. You know, she's got three kids. It was like she was taking time off from like, her family and... And I don't really talk about it, but lately I've been like every other show I bring that up because I get, I would say a few a month maybe. Right. Not, you'd think it'd be crazy and you think that would be encouraging
honestly,
people.
Honestly, like one dick pic is one too many.
Exactly. Yes. One dick pic, one too many. But she was with me and I was just, now it's like a habit. I'm like, oh, dick pic block. Right. And she's like, what was that on your phone? I just saw that. I'm like, oh, that was a dick pic. Right.
I was thinking about like why guys send dick pics and let's talk about that for a second before we get into other stuff. But so the first reason I was thinking, well, they think, oh, like a woman's anatomy is hot, so she might be hot seeing my anatomy and not getting it.
Right.
So that was what I originally thought. But so many, like dick pics have been like, you don't, everyone in the world knows dick pics aren't hot and girls make, show them to each other and laugh and then delete it and make fun of you and block you. So I also think it may be a guy's way of saying, well, this is never going to happen, but at least you've been really close to my dick. Right? So I think it may not be a seductive thing or just like a show off thing. I think there's also a show off element too.
There
like,
is.
Look at this, I'm proud of it. This angle makes it look big.
Exactly, exactly. I shaved. I bought one of those penis pumps we should never use. Those don't work, by the way. It's
so I think it's another way of like saying, okay, listen, you're going to be like, at least like my dick's been close to your face. I think that might be one reason why guys do it, which is kind of an assault on other people.
It is an assault.
Yeah, it is
an assault. Yeah, my dear dick's been close to me. And then I guess, and then they might think it's kind of like a numbers game, right? Like if I send to a maybe there'll be one more.
It's a
he's
dick
like,
numbers. It's a dick's game.
I in no way, my ego is not that big to think that I'm the only one who got that dick pic that day.
Right.
And you probably have like a cadre, you probably have a library.
Do you think they have like a mass text dick distribution list?
I do. I think they're like, who have I sent this dick to? Or maybe they like do like A-B testing or something.
Right.
Like which dick pics getting more responses.
Right. But now when you're saying it's a numbers game, but do you think there is a number like out of 1,000 dick pics, one gets like, oh, I like your dick.
That's what I'm thinking. Right. They're thinking that there's got to be somebody. If I send this to everybody I know, there's got to be some woman who's like, oh, nice dick. Like, like nice thank you and let's go out. I don't know if that happens.
Yeah.
I'd actually kind of like to hear from people if that's true. You can
let's do that.
At sexemily.com.
If
your dick pic opened some kind of door for you in some way and your relationship started because of someone got your dick pic and they were just so overwhelmed and thrilled by that, I would like to know if that exists.
And let me make a clear distinction here, which is if you're going to respond to this, the dick pic has to have been received before you saw this person naked.
Yes, exactly. Right? It wasn't like they've already sucked your penis, sucked your dick, or anything like that.
And here's just a souvenir to remember.
Exactly. Like that dick pic opened the door. It was a great pickup line, but it was a dick pic. Can you imagine? Well, okay, Neil Strauss. Hi, Neil.
Yeah, hey.
I've always wanted to, so it's funny because The Game came out in 2005, which was the first year I started my podcast.
Oh, no way. That's interesting.
Yeah, and it was really the first thing that I was thinking when I was driving over here, I was like, God, I would have dreamed then to have you on the show because I had all your like lackeys on, like people who wanted to pickup artists. They wanted to be in that world and they were all like, The Game became a Bible.
Yeah.
I actually don't know what was happening pre-game. Like, were you the one who kind of shed, the first person who opened that up, or were these guys are underground?
Yeah, they all existed. They were all underground doing their thing.
Right.
And I found it like not to write a book just because I was just really lonely and couldn't connect with women, or I'd be interested in someone and they would like start dating someone else, and I'm like, what do I not know? What am I doing wrong? Like, I'm interesting, I'm writing for Rolling Stone, I'm going to these amazing concerts like with backstage passes, like why, you know, I'm going on the road with Motley Crue and nothing is happening, and I just could not figure it out. And and I felt like these, like, you know, guys who didn't have money, didn't have looks, didn't have fame, but had cracked this code, like, dude, like, you're doing it without the things I thought I grew up thinking I needed.
I mean, I love going back to this because people who don't, and I find that some people, I'm always amazed when they haven't heard of it. So that's really what it was. You were kind of, you know, you were a writer, you had all these friends who were getting like, and you kind of were like, how do they do it? What is the secret?
Yeah.
And you went in and you like live with them in their communities and you learned how to like, and then in the book.
My whole career was basically based on me like trying to figure out how to have sex.
Right. And then all of a sudden you were like, having lots of sex.
Right. Because literally like first, so I did a book with Motley Crue, not just to do this, The Dirt, which that's my other favorite book. I don't know if you've read it, but it's nuts. And you would think, well, why would I want to read that? I'm not a Motley Crue fan, but I promise you, like, it's I'm not a fan of all my books, but that one, like, you just can't stop.
Not a fan.
You can't stop reading.
Okay, no, I will.
Yeah.
I will.
And again, like, it's nuts. It's crazy. So anyway, so I went on the road with them because I thought, oh, dude, if I'm on the road with Motley Crue with backstage passes, like, come on. And so I still didn't. And then I'm like, okay, I know. I'll do a book with Jenna Jameson, the porn star.
Right.
I hear about a ton of porn stars. Yes. Like, they have sex all the time. And so still nothing happened. And then I kind of gave up. And then I found out about this community. I'm like, okay, maybe I can figure this thing out.
And you live with them in the community. Right. I knew that they kind of existed, but I feel like they were all like hitting me up, like, let me be on your show. Like, I was in San Francisco at the time.
Yeah.
So they came on and they were...
Well, a weird thing happened after the game. But just to like put the closer on that, and this is true for anybody out there who's trying to get like anything, whether it's sex, fame, money, bro, your brand, whatever your thing is, followers, whatever it is, like, obviously the greatest thing about getting the thing you want for whatever, whether it's the sex or the money or the fame or the thing or whatever it is, the greatest thing about getting it is you realize that you totally satisfies nothing.
Exactly.
And then you start fixing, that's probably what led to the truth, then you start fixing the real problems inside that made you want in the first place.
Exactly. Oh my God, it's so true. Yeah. I mean, everyone says it's about the journey, like, and you're just like, fuck it, I want to get to this place. Then exactly, you get there. Even just little things and big things, like driving here, I was like, I would have been so psyched to interview you 10 years ago. Right. I'm like, oh.
Now you don't care.
I do care. No, I was really excited. But I was like, oh my God, did I have a moment?
Right.
But yeah, or all the things that have happened to me. I was broke starting the podcast, and then you get to certain places, and yeah, exactly. So it's not really about, not that we shouldn't have goals and aspirations, but the truth, what it brought you to. So here was Neil. You guys should
I think the point we're making. But I want to make the point that I think you're trying to make.
Yes.
That why not just fill the hole now versus trying to get something else to fill it and then move forward, because you're really going to be happy and have a better life. And I interview a lot of people for Rolling Stone. So I interview people who like are at the top of the game of music, film, you know, entertainers, that kind of stuff. And when they hit their peak, when they're just like a household name, there's something that always happens, which is they hit a big depression, because they realize before it's like, oh, I'm sad, I'm depressed, I'm struggling, but that's just because I'm not there yet.
Right.
Then you get there and you're still sad and depressed and you can't blame it on anything else but yourself.
Exactly.
And that's why you'll see them turn to the smart ones. They'll turn to drugs or to spirituality, right?
Right.
Or they'll find something. They'll fill a hole with something good or something bad.
Right. So that's what happened to you, really, with the game. As far as like probably love and relationships, and that's why like the truth, you went through this whole journey of 5 years it took you to write it. I want to back up for a minute about this hole, because you just said that it'd be so great if you could fill the hole beforehand before you get to this depression. But I think that that's the impetus, right? There's no deterrent at that point. There's no rock bottom.
Right?
I mean, you're not like, I couldn't have stopped. People, they couldn't have stopped on the climb up to the top to just take time out and go to therapy and be spiritual, because you have to kind of get to that place. It's kind of like the rite of passage.
Yeah, yeah, it is part of that. It's true. It's totally part of the journey, which is why like, there's nothing. I don't regret that game experience because I needed to take that journey to realize I didn't need it.
You didn't, right, exactly.
But it gave me a lot of other things.
Right.
And also, here's another thing that's probably true of some listeners and other people, which we didn't mention, which is some people feel like love will fill the hole. Like if I have people who feel incomplete without someone else, like, dude, if you don't feel complete without a relationship, then you're not ready for a relationship.
Right. Right. It's so true. Like, you know, if you feel like half a person, you're going to attract another half a person that is going to fill the areas where you don't feel so great about yourself, right. Which I agree. I know you've said that
that's
as well.
Like, that's like the definition of codependence,
exactly.
Or dysfunctional relationships.
Right.
Like so, two holes coming together, that's a great relationship.
Right, exactly. And we tend to attract that, which we think will fill us up. So at the end of the day, we think it's love. We think it's sex. We think it's affirmation. We think it's money. We think it's all this stuff from the outside. Right. But really, it's about loving ourselves. And understanding yourself,
right? And those are easy things to say, right?
It's so hard to understand. It's easy to say, but people are like, "Oh yeah, I love myself,"
right? Or yeah,
I want to go make a lot of money,
right? Or even focusing on getting what you need from the inside out instead of the outside in.
So after the game, you had all the success, so you were kind of riding high, doing all these things, and then that's when you kind of you hit your depression. Let's talk about that. What happened?
So like the totally like brutally honest thing, and it's in the book, so it's not like a giant revelation, but it's true that. So, like, my relationships kept failing. Like, either I was cheated on or I was cheating. And eventually I just, like, cheated on someone I loved, like, thought we had a future together. And then I just thought, why? How could I hurt somebody I loved and cared about? Why am I hurting my chance for a better future? Why did I betray my own ethics and moral system by lying and betraying them and all the stuff? So I really felt just devastated. So I went to, like, sex addiction rehab.
Was that your idea, or was that like a therapist's idea?
It was actually Rick Rubin, the producer, was his idea.
Okay.
And he lives in the neighborhood, and we'd go for like paddle boards, and he'd just give me life advice.
Right.
And he was the one who said, like, look, you got everything you wanted with the game, and you're still not happy. You know, maybe you got to look at this.
Right. So
issue.
Then you right, and you kind of detail all a lot of it in the book is about your sex addiction rehab, but you kind of find out you're not really a sex addict.
No, yeah, it was interesting.
There was a lot of revelations.
But it was the greatest thing. So here's the thing: I recommend addiction like therapy for everybody, not necessarily the 12 steps.
So you didn't even,
I mean, I think that's great for addiction. But what I mean is this: there, and I could talk about what some of them are and where I'd recommend people go. But here's the great thing about like regular therapy, like talk therapy. You just go in a room. You talk to somebody for an hour. There's no treatment plan.
Right.
You don't know when you're done. Like, you don't really know where you're going. You just talk about some stuff, and they give you some ideas and thoughts and insights.
So when you say that, and I agree with you that talk therapy, I mean, I've done a lot of, you know, for like 15 years, I was in talk therapy and group therapy, and then I tried some other things. And I'm wondering for you, what were the other, so trauma therapy, but what are the kinds of therapies?
Yes, let's talk about this. This is great.
Okay.
I really like, but I really think it's true. I think there are a couple issues. One is like the therapy model doesn't work that we have. The second one is we're not like if I have like a soapbox or something like where I want to change the world is that we don't take our mental and psychological and emotional health seriously and we're not taught that.
Right.
So in other words, when you're growing up, if you go to doctors for a checkup, whether you're sick or not, you go to school for intellectual education, whether you're, you know, smart or not, but you don't go to work on your emotional health unless it's totally dysfunctional and destroying everything or they prescribe the pill for it.
Exactly.
So if we taught like, you know, emotional health and well-being and mindfulness and all those things is just part of the process.
I totally
agree.
Growing
up, we'd have like a healthier society everywhere. If you want to change the world, we're already fucked. Like, but the kids still have hope.
Well, I think it's funny because on the show, I'm always, and I say this a lot to people, a lot of my listeners, I'm like, you need therapy. It sounds like you need therapy. Right. And also like being on Loveline, you need therapy. And it's so, I don't want that to always be like my main, you know, something like, you got to listen to them. So
okay,
for
so
some
let's talk
people
about that.
Though, but some people I think like, I feel like for me, talk therapy got me to a point where I was like, oh, I really didn't have the perfect childhood. Oh, this is how things can. I almost needed to
start there. But here's the thing. By the way, there are two issues, but here's the thing about that. It's a great start. Understanding is not enough. So it's almost worse. In NLP, it's called conscious incompetence. You know you're doing it wrong. So a lot of people, they can understand their problem, but they keep doing it. The person who's like, I'm never going to date a guy like this again, next guy's just
that's
like
that. That's who they're attracted to. Their body reacts to it.
So here's the thought. First of all, the other problem in society is like, it's a rich person's game, therapy and psychological healing, because there's no insurance that covers it.
Exactly.
You have to have some discretionary income to do it. And it's sad.
But, so sad.
But the bigger thing is this. The trauma didn't come in intellectually. Right? It came in through your, like, through feelings, through absorbing stuff, through you know, experientially and, you know, emotionally. So talk is not going to get it out because it's not in the talk part of your brain.
So what was the bodywork therapy that you did?
So
what did you do?
Right. So here's stuff that really worked for me. One is, it's called post-induction therapy. Pia Melody, who is amazing, kind of designed it.
Yeah. Drew's told me about this. Dr. Drew.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He gave me your name. Like I said, you should go. Yes. I have my phone.
Did he say you should go to Survivors at the Meadows?
No, he said just Pia Melody.
Pia Melody was great. Right. Like she just developed a model. She was a nurse, just a genius, and developed really a great model of childhood.
You guys, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back here with Neil Strauss. I think we could talk for 6 hours if we didn't have to get into a sauna and do his podcast in a minute. Probably. But thank you, everyone, for supporting our sponsors. You know that I have every product, every service, everything I talked to you about, I've tried, I've used, I love. It makes me feel so good. I know it'll make you feel good, too. And we'll be right back. Thanks for listening. There's nothing quite like sinking your teeth into a good sandwich. But listen, carb guilt is real. I'm someone who's very invested in my health, and I like to get my carbs from oats and beans and fruits and not bread. But I love bread. So here's my hack. Thanks to Hero Bread, you can enjoy your favorite bready delights without the carb consequences. Hero Bread has turned those carby, empty-calorie bread products into fluffy, delicious breads that boast 0 to 1 net carbs per serving, 0 grams of sugar, and are packed with loads of fiber and protein. The first time I tried their white bread, I was skeptical. Could it really taste good with such impressive nutritional stats? Well, I'm pleasantly surprised to say it absolutely does. The texture is just phenomenal. It's like this soft, airy, and it just toasts up like a dream. I've whipped up everything from grilled cheese to PB&J and even made enchiladas, wraps, and tacos with their tortillas. Each time, Hero Bread has been a game changer. And here's the kicker. Despite its light texture and great taste, Hero Bread fits perfectly into my health goals. It's been adding more fiber to my diet while keeping the sugar at bay. Whether I'm packing a picnic lunch, planning a road trip snack, which I often do, or prepping French toast for breakfast, Hero Bread is my go-to. So whether you're craving a classic sandwich, a burger, or a hearty bun, or even indulging in a low net carb croissant, Hero Bread is something for everyone. And I highly recommend checking their monthly small batch drops out so you can try goodies like the 1 gram net carb Hero Cheddar Biscuit and so much more. You won't believe what they have. So you ready to kick carb guilt to the curb? Head over to hero.co and snag 10% off your order with the code Emily. That's Emily at hero.co. Back to you, Neil.
Yes.
Go. Okay.
I know. It's all wound up before. I was like,
wait. No, I needed to do a break. My producer. Yeah.
But you know what? At least we care about this stuff we're talking about.
No, we do. I'm so into it. Yeah. So what was the...
Oh, no. I was going to say, here's the cheap solution. I really recommend this, and I think it's great.
The cheap solution for people. I don't even know what...
Right.
Yeah.
So here's what you do. You get... I literally did this. I got together, like, I'm a new, you know, married now to the girl that I was dating before, Ingrid. Right. You know, we have a kid now. So I got, like... And it's tough. Like, I think once you have a child... I learned how to have a relationship, then a relationship with children is a whole new world.
Oh, my God, yeah.
So I got together with, like, maybe 5 other guys who also were new dads. And I said, hey, let's just get a group together. We'll each chip in for the therapist. So instead of one person doing it, it's all 5. The therapist comes in. We sit down with them. And in fact, today is when I do it. So at 6 today, we do this meeting, and it's great. So what you can do is get 5 people together. You all chip in on the therapist.
That is so smart. And let me tell you, I think that I was in a woman's group for 6 years. Same women. Every week you go. And to me, and I didn't understand at first. I thought, well, if I'm paying for therapy, I want attention on me. But you learn so much in a group setting because you bring yourself to the group. People help people see you. They reflect on you. I think that is brilliant. I've actually never heard of, like, you know, it's like the Uber for therapy or something.
Yeah.
Not Uber, Lyft. We don't like talk about Uber. But that's really freaking smart.
Yeah.
Because I remember, you each pay like $50 or something or $20, you know.
Right. And here's why group therapy is better besides what you said. First of all, there have been studies, and of course, like, I question all studies, but there have been studies that show group therapy is better, but people only quote the studies that prove their point.
Right.
So true. But one of the reasons I found it to be better, besides what you said, is that, like, if you have a therapist and the therapist says, hey, here's what's going on, you're doing your thing again, you can be like, no, you're wrong. But when the therapist says it and 4 other people in the room all say it, even if you're kind of like, all right, maybe they have a point.
Exactly.
If 5 people see the same thing and you don't see it, they're right. likely right to.
And they really know, and there's a sort of like, there's a trust. Obviously, if people think my friends, they'd gossip to their wife. No, there is a circle of trust in there. Yeah. You hope that they're not going home and sharing the
there, there is.
With these
it's
friends.
Amazing. Yeah. yeah. I mean, you're choosing good people and you're choosing people committed to the work.
I love that you're doing that. That is like the best idea. Like, I could leave right now.
Yeah. Good.
And I'd be done with this, but I'm not. So going back to like the game, like,
I knew it.
You could tell. Sex dating right?
Yeah, no, I get
sex
it. I get
podcast.
It.
People are like,
she's like,
but
going back to these questions, I have to ask that I think people are interested in.
No. Where is your. I'm back. I'm obsessed with therapy, but right. I feel like I'm also talking, you know, I feel like you just tell people a lot, but I want to go back to like, if you could read, because the game, you said you don't love all your books. Do you still love the game? How do you feel about that?
Yeah. I mean, any book I wrote like was true to who I was at the time.
Right. Exactly.
And I would never write it again now.
It is you. That's kind of how you do your therapy through these books. Right. In many ways, it's cathartic, right?
I really do. And it's almost like it's like those growth marks on that. Hopefully they're all growth marks on the wall. And you're like, oh, that's who I was back then. And that's why I really recommend, like, I love writing, and I recommend writing because you see who you are at that point.
Exactly.
And I found people who are procrastinators and take too long to do a book or an album. If you take like 5 years, you're a new person by the end of it. So you start hating the beginning of it, and then you've lost that chapter of your life.
Yeah, that's true. You just got to get through the procrastination part. Okay, I have a question for you though, because like, a lot of my listeners, I get questions all the time, and confidence from men. They're like, how do I get confidence to ask this person out? How do I get confidence, men and women? But that book was kind of like getting men who maybe wouldn't have been comfortable talking to women, sleeping with women. You didn't have the confidence either then.
Right.
And there's a lot in there that's about playing a game. People are like, I can do this. I can say these words. I can nag, you know, a woman. I can do these things. But what would you say now, the Neil today? What would your advice be to men that you're like, if you had a few tips for like really building, cultivating confidence?
Right.
What would you say?
Yeah. I mean, again, I think like if someone's just talking about confidence, I mean, there's a difference. There's two different things. There's effective courtship behavior, let's say.
Let's talk about effective courtship behavior.
And then there's confidence. And confidence goes back to the discussion we had previously, right? Because, right, for me, super critical mom. Everything I did was wrong. It was a mistake. Like, I'd literally be like packing a bag for college and like, what are you doing that wrong? Why are you putting that there? It's like a running stream of criticism.
Wow.
And so obviously that leads to me being in self-doubt and questioning myself a lot. So the reason I write books is because, well, there's no dialogue or conversation, right?
Except for in your head, but you've had to probably quiet that.
Yeah. But I can communicate without being interrupted or criticized.
Right, exactly.
I can be criticized afterward, and that's fine, but at least I can get my thoughts out. But the point being, so if someone was just talking about a confidence issue, like, I would really look at the roots and the cause of it and work on that in the way we just discussed. But we can talk about the fun stuff too.
Yeah. No, okay. But that's okay. Right. But even, what about then some of the things, would you recommend anything? Is there anything in the game that you think, and I know that the game wasn't just about that, but people kind of took from there what they wanted to.
Right.
Which is great in many ways, I guess, for a business for you, like for selling the book. But
I mean,
the game,
to me, like, it's funny because like, the stuff in the game, the stuff like we learned and got into, like so much of it's like so, it's really smart about human nature.
Right?
So whether you're going to do it or not, understanding it is really smart. And they're just simple, dumb things that guys do all the freaking time. And I don't even think it's manipulative to say, hey, stop doing that dumb shit and do some smarter shit.
Like what?
I mean, I can just give you an example.
Yeah.
Like, here's like a simple thing. And there's so many things that are be smarter to do, and but there's so much stuff. There's so many things. I don't know why. I'm just thinking this one recently. But it just happened recently. So people who are traveling, this is for guys, is to say, hey, you know, I'm new here. I don't know around. Do you know anything kind of cool going on? And people usually be nice and want to show them around. But what's interesting is that when you do that, it's not sexy.
Right, you'd be like, hey, can you tell me?
Right, because you're like just...
Any good bands playing tonight?
Right. You're like, you don't know what's going on, you're dependent. For some reason, you might
you're
even
not
make
a leader.
Friends, but it's... Yeah,
you're
exactly. So like, I always tell people, like, become an expert in where you're going. So it's so much cooler, it's so much... It's weird, you'll still meet people both ways, but this other way I'm going to recommend will lead to more chemistry and romance, which is like, research the place, so you meet someone in whatever town it is, in New York or something, you're visiting, you'll be like, have you heard of this place? Please don't tell. When you're talking about, like, no, what's that? It's like, it's a speakeasy. You know about Please Don't Tell, by the way?
No.
Oh, it's amazing. So it's on St. Mark's.
Okay.
It's a hot dog stand, but there's a phone booth there. If you pick up the phone booth and you have a reservation, the back of the phone booth will open to a secret speakeasy.
I don't know this.
You don't know that. And then the conversation would go like, wow, we're in New York. This is your city. I've never even been here before and I know this.
Right. And you're automatically like, wow, he knows something that I want.
And then the other thing is, then you don't invite them then. You talk about some other stuff. You don't even invite them. Because they're ready for that. right? So it's smarter, it's just sort of smarter to be not be so needy and desperate. So you're there, you know the town, you're doing something cool. And then when you're done, you're like, hey, you know what? I enjoyed this conversation. And if you want, we're gonna have a reservation on Thursday if you want to join us.
So wait, you don't invite them at that moment, but you invite them after that moment.
Yeah.
Like in that moment, you just keep going. And yeah. They're waiting, going, is he going to invite me? Is he going to invite me? God, right. So you built that in the moment. That is
yeah, it's just, sort of like, it's not needy, it's cool. And then it's also like, if you're offering everything up right away, they're like, well, do they really like me, or are they just sort of like
right? Okay, so it's still like a strategic, but
But it's also just like, to me,
human nature, kind of how we
right. It's just smarter. Like obviously, there's a great connection. I mean, here's the other thing, because I go back and forth on the game.
Okay,
I think all manipulation is wrong. But at the same time, if there's someone who, like, you know, I meet so many people who got married, who have kids because of the game. So was that manipulation wrong? I mean, on a spiritual, universal, cosmic level? Truly. But in that life, and because those children were born, or there's, you know, that to blossom to love, it's okay. So if maybe you do that stuff stupidly, people are ready to say no to people very quickly, because they get approached with a lot of things. And so maybe it helps you, like,
right. No, I think those are good, you know. And you, no, I think that is a good modification. So let's talk about sex.
Right. Okay.
You know. Sex podcast.
Let's do that. Yeah.
So when you were getting laid a lot at the game, you learned these tools.
By the way, just a small thing. I was just thinking that recently because someone was traveling, and they were meeting somebody there, and I was like, "Don't glom onto somebody else's fun. You be the source of the fun."
That is so smart. Yeah, that's like, true. Yeah. It's not that hard. It's not like you have to be like, "But I'm not fun." Right. No, it's quiet. Right. All those things that you can find something.
Yeah. Like I was doing an interview with Playboy Radio, and the hosts were there, and then they had their like models there.
Yeah.
And the hosts were like, "What are you guys doing this week?" And they're like, "We're doing this." They're like, "Can we come?" And they're like, "I'm like, dude, no, you need to be doing something that's more fun than what they're doing, right?"
But so women could do this too. Do you think that women should be leading with this too? Like, because then there is a certain like men are the leaders, women are the ones who are. So do you think that if I said, "Hey, I've got this great thing going on," that would still be attractive to a guy?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, I think everybody feels that like, even if their life is awesome, there's something, other stuff going on that could be more amazing
and
more fun.
FOMO?
Yeah, right, exactly.
Let's just prey on everyone's FOMO.
Right.
So sex then, so you started getting laid and having sex.
Right.
So how do you think that your sex life has changed since then?
And by
then?
The way, yes. and I do want to say this, which is I think a lot of the gender stuff is cultural, not biological.
Yeah.
We're talking about these differences, right? So they're cultural things that are ingrained, and obviously a lot of your listeners are beyond that stuff.
Right.
So just when I'm talking about men, it's sort of like an average of this is kind of the way people
masculine energy.
Yeah.
The truth, you guys should I'll read his book, The Truth, Neil Strauss. You really get into it. I mean, you spent 5 years going through this process, writing the book, and the whole journey. I mean, I guess you're still on the journey, right? We're on the journey. But would you say that there's been stuff that you've learned also? I know it's more about dating the game and that, but the sex. Like you also went through, you know.
I did. No, I trained. Like I went like to sexual training.
So tell me what was the most useful stuff that you've learned about sex right now, that you're like a wise guru now of all things.
I mean honestly, like the greatest thing, and again, like I went to all these things, but like obviously, as everyone knows, it's not like, to me it's more, it's not all the techniques
stuff. It wasn't like this great kind of like a strip, unless you have one.
What are the things I learned or whatever. I think like tons of stuff, all kinds of like spots and sensitive areas inside that I didn't, you know, that I hadn't like really explored enough with her yet, even though I kind of knew the main ones. There are like some sub spots. And also, you know, just a lot more about like she has this great thing where you're sort of like, you know, blindfolded and playing with all five senses, like doing some stuff that's just for taste and some stuff just for auditory, and just sort of having this, you know, multi-sensory, like just
that's
enjoyable
really cool.
experience. So we do that sometimes, and just technique wise, I think a lot of like there's so many amazing strokes to be learned and done,
right
people and like,
don't even know
amazing like, so like really learning like, you know, vaginal massage, like dick massage, like just learning like all these
I have
amazing,
like a vulva mapping by a friend who's a sexological body work. Like there's all these areas inside of us, like Dolly, who was on my show recently, she's a sexological body work and somatic therapist. It's like, I didn't even talk about this on my show, but she literally went in there like, and she was like, how does that feel? How does that feel? Like there are all these areas inside of us that I think that we, and men, I always assume that men, first of all, like knew their penises, and like they know their penises. They look at it all the time. Right. And the truth is that there's a lot that men don't know. They know how to like do one stroke and get themselves off.
And how we do it is different than how we want it done.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So it's communication.
Right, and that, and that was a third. So one was just like, there's so many amazing strokes. Like, literally, I'll be doing them, like, okay, it's time for this little violin thing, and then, like, the bird in the nest, and then, like, the, you know, and then whatever, then the, like, but they're so, they're, like, just, like, and also when you're with somebody who's, like, great at just that massage part of it, it's, like, the greatest
experience. Right, it's so important.
So then the other thing was communication, like, and I think probably you talk about it. I'm sure everyone on your show talks about it.
Oh, yeah, I talk
people
about
still
all the time.
Don't. Do it, right?
They don't know how to communicate at all.
Yeah.
No, they don't even... Well, that's my show. A lot of this is that people just... Yeah, there's so much shame around it. That, and then there's a problem with sex, and they've never even talked about sex. Right. They don't... Yeah. They're not sure exactly what to be doing, and how do you even start the conversation?
Yeah, yeah. So. Or it's like done like, oh... Or you say it in some... And also finding the way to say it where somebody doesn't feel... criticized.
It's not that's a moment thing, learning good. How to communicate.
Right.
Like, that is just a whole other thing that you could dive into, too. Like, there are the right ways to do it and wrong ways to do it.
Right.
But the truth came out 2 years ago.
Right.
Okay. So where are you at now? How is it you have a child, married with child?
And I'm working on another book that I can't say, but it's the craziest. Because it's like...
It's the same kind of thing, though, like
totally
wherever you're at now?
100% different.
Okay.
But it's the craziest, like, and most intense book I've ever done in my life.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
The last one was really intense.
Yeah, this one's like... unbelievable.
Okay, and you can't tell me? Okay, so then I'm not even going
to press
you.
And all the books rise out of just things normally happening in my life. And I say, if I just do a book, then I can dedicate myself, like, full time to it.
Right, and that's what you're doing now. You're writing.
Yeah, but it'll be done by the end of the year.
Oh, so I don't have to wait that long.
Yeah, but it's
like... let me know.
Yeah, I'll let you know.
So, in the truth, like, I think that that's sort of a guidebook, right? You're thinking it would be advice for people, right? To learn. I mean,
I think everything is... I think, like, Carl Rogers said, like, that personal is the universal.
Yep.
So I feel like if I just tell my story as, like, vulnerably as I can, but along the way of that story, provide a roadmap for others to follow. That's kind of where it's at.
What have you heard? What's been the feedback? Like, to how people really?
The best feedback to me is someone's like, I read that book. Like, it was. I laughed a lot. Like, it was funny. It was nuts. It reflected a lot of my thoughts. But along the way, I realized, oh, I was raised by. Especially the idea of enmeshment. I don't know if you ever discussed on the show.
Yes, a little bit, but...
So realizing, I was raised like this, and that's why I choose these kinds of people in relationships, and like having, when light bulbs are going off in people's heads, like that's the goal.
I feel like that the great thing about the book and about therapy and all this stuff is that we could save so much time. Like we were saying beginning of the show that we kind of got to go through all these things to get to a certain place. But with these things, the childhood issues and figuring this stuff out, you know, I'm so grateful that I started therapy at like 20. I kind of had to because my dad died and I got into that. But I really am just like, I'm glad I started on the path when I did, because I feel like a lot of our relationship issues, and I learned this at a younger age, but like it's when I would break up with someone when I was really younger, I'd be like, oh, because he's an alcoholic or he's this, or we don't like the same music or whatever you think when you're a kid, when you're younger dating. But now I realize it was never about the other person. It was always about where I was at in my life.
Yeah.
And then I kept dating like a series of the same kind of people. And then you finally realize that like, it's really not about them. It's about me getting healthy and then taking time off from dating and figuring that out. And I think that we could, like a takeaway from that and what you show in the book too, is that like, we should all kind of take that time. And if we it's hard to be alone too.
Yeah,
I think a lot of times you're like, well, I want to keep dating. There's all these other people to date. But once you can really pull back and go deep and do the work, then you'll be able to come out of it and pick much healthier partners.
Right. And one of the therapists told me a really good line, which is like, until you can be alone without loneliness, you're not ready for a relationship. But the point about what you were saying is like this stuff, it is efficient because it's like a ticking time bomb, whether it's going to, you're going to try to get someone in your career, but you're going to self-sabotage it because this shit's going to fuck you up, or it's going to sabotage your relationship. So they're literally like years people waste.
They do.
That hurtful relationships and in like trying to build a career when they're just standing in their own way. So if you just clear this shit now, then you have a clear path to like love or connection or your
and it's the most important work. I mean, I know we really got into it here, but I have to say there's one thing.
Let me ask you this though.
What?
Like, I know that I like that you're turning the conversation to sex and stuff, and you've obviously
no, it's okay.
No, no, no. I seriously want to ask you this.
3,000
episodes. I seriously want to ask you this, and your listeners too. They can tweet you.
Yeah.
Right.
Tweet me.
So, do you feel? Are you like fascinated to talk about sex, or do you feel like, oh, the podcast is this, so let's make sure we hit that note?
I don't know. I was thinking. I was actually running last night. I was listening to like a few truth barrels. I've been like prepping for this and thinking about it, and I was like thinking about the game, which I read, you know, when it came out. I was thinking about you. I was like, what was sex like from them? Was he just like getting the numbers and banging these chicks and like what was it good for you?
No, because of course, no. Like even at the game point, you're like, of course, if somebody has a great experience with you, you get to have more great experiences with them and they're going to get better. So of course that's part of it. And I think a lot of, again, I've talked about guys because that's the people who come to me and who I like work with the most, but like a lot of guys who are virgins and like, you know, 30 or something, it's not like people aren't attracted to them. They become too scared to even have sex. Right. Or they're going to do it wrong and do it badly. And then that just, the older they get, the less.
Right. So what would you tell them? I have a lot of virgins you're listening. What would you tell them now? The older, any virgin?
The first thing I would say is like, there are these concepts that don't exist. There's no such thing in the world as virginity. Like, there's no, like, universal thing of virginity. It's just a weird, fake fucking concept.
Right.
It's totally fake. It doesn't mean, like, it's the same with monogamy and non-monogamy, by the way. Fake, artificial, right.
God, okay.
Yeah, because I did, so, but they're fake, artificial distinctions created by society. Virgin, non-virgin, like, fucking means nothing. You stick it in there versus there, it's stuck in there versus there. Like, fucking means nothing. The first thing I would say is, like, just let go of that shit because it's hanging over your head and hurting you. So, like, let go of the concept.
But they're not going to let go of like a 25-year-old virgin who's like, all his friends are getting laid. He's like, I don't care what you call it. I haven't had
But then the question is, what do you do for a 25-year-old who doesn't have any sexual experience or who has less sexual,
right?
So, but I get that. But the first thing is, like, it just doesn't help to define yourself that way or to think of that as a real thing because it's not.
No, I get I'm with you on that.
Right. But as far as practical advice goes, like, here's the deal. I think
you're not into the practical, and I love you. You're so up here. I mean, I'm there with you, and I get it. Like, I know where you're at. So
I'll go both places. But here's the thing. Here's why I'm at that place. So the game stuff, there's behavior stuff, and there's belief stuff, right? So we can talk about the behavior stuff is really easy shit to fix.
Right.
If I say, hey, if you're walking up to someone, you walk straight up and you stand too close to them, they're going to be uncomfortable. So it's nicer if you're talking at an angle and you kind of look over your shoulder.
Right,
and
I feel like,
and everyone can change that right away. But it's the belief stuff that fuels all this shit.
Right.
So I'm into the belief stuff because you change the beliefs.
I am
all the behaviors change. Mm-hmm. So back to the person who's like a, you know, a virgin or has very little sexual experience over like at an age when they feel like they should have more. Obviously there's a belief issue at hand, right?
Right.
There's a belief issue behind that. So I could say, and again, like I do think you could learn this stuff. I would say like take all the advice we've been giving this whole thing and find out what it is that's making you feel uncomfortable. Not
like really go deep, like think about like what's it really about. Don't numb it. Like don't like really like where did it start? Where did it come from?
Yeah, I would just say heal that thing separate from the sex and the other stuff will start happening.
It's true.
Same with people with relationship stuff. I'm like, you want to find a better relationship, then work on yourself to be a better person or more emotionally mature, and you'll meet more emotionally mature people.
Right. I mean, because you also, that's a good point, because you also learn, like I'm grateful for all the relationships I was in. I learned a lot from them and studying it, but it was really the work I did outside of it.
You have to.
That you grow. Yeah, everyone has to.
So really, like, if you want it, so the practical side is this, is like, make a fucking game plan for yourself about how you're going to do this stuff that involves experiential shit, not just I'm going to read a bunch of books and listen to a bunch of podcasts.
Yeah, you have to do, you have to get out there and get the experience. And I like what you said for you guys, the men's group, getting together, getting a therapist. But what if you're like younger, don't have resources? You know what I'm saying? Like for like a kid who's like, I don't know if I have therapy, like how else could you do it besides reading books? And I guess I was lucky I could go to therapy. You
like know? Here's the thing, like, then get a mentor. Everybody, including myself, you can learn everything for free if you find someone who's a little bit better at it than yourself, right?
Right.
And I like finding a couple different mentors because it's good to get different kinds of advice and not just, you know, just because something worked for one person doesn't mean it works for everybody.
True, that's good.
So just find someone who's a little bit better at you and start having those, you know, discussions or get a group of friends together to kind of talk about this stuff or start
men
like
don't do it as naturally. Like now you're a man in his 40s. Like now you have this group of men, but were you talking about your feelings and emotions 10 years ago even?
I mean, in the game stuff, we were kind of like doing that stuff. Like I think that the purpose having it still seemed like masculine work. This is about, you know, sex. So we're like doing it, but we're really working on all these other parts of ourselves at the same time.
Was there any advice that you wish you could undo that you learned then that you're like, oh God, I wish like anything like, I don't know, even sex or...
No, because like, it's all like part of the journey, right?
I know. But not that you could undo, but that you would like to kind of correct. If anyone reads it, let's say, you're like, oh, please don't do that.
I don't know, because I think everyone's like, okay, we'll make their own decision. I don't know. I haven't read it, so I don't know what's since then, so I don't know
you haven't read it since then?
What's in there. But I don't think the game's like an ad. It's not a how-to or an ad.
So
book.
Is it still as people still buying it as popular? I always...
I think so.
Refer to it.
Yeah. So, good. But I don't think, but even the book itself is not advocacy or how to. It's just like, this was my experience.
It's a great story.
This stuff I learned, and this is why, like, I left it. Right? So it's not even an advocacy book. Like, but I think you, as a writer, it's like, well, you present everything and don't hold it back and let people make up their own mind.
Right.
And I think, like, I meet a lot of people in, like, different communities who maybe they started with the game and then doing the game and then rejected it, but it led them into a,
well, that's
self,
why
into a self-improvement place or a spiritual place or a...
A lot of those guys that I initially talked to, they were kind of like, yeah, but they're more like the spiritual. They were kind of had it based in more of a spiritual realm than just going out and like, so I think it did launch careers. Maybe the people I interviewed early on.
And I'm sure, like other people went down the dark side and turned into bigger douchebags than they already were.
Exactly. They've shifted now. Right. So how's it being a father?
I don't want to be like, that's the best. Here's what's great about it. There's so many things that were great about it, but on the top of what we're talking about is all the stuff I learned about trauma and how that's created and all the wounds we get from growing up. Like, I've made me like such a better dad.
Right.
And just conscious of little stuff, just the littlest things. I'll give you a couple like examples. One is like, it's so fun, like just doing it right as a parent when you didn't have it done right, or doing it the best you can. I'm making
mistakes. Nobody's like kids, perfect. You're always going to...
Yeah,
they're gonna have issues. If they don't have issues with you, then they're not gonna have the human experience.
Right.
But you're doing your best.
Right. But by the way, anyone who says they, when people, if you think your parents were perfect or you think like you had an idyllic childhood, there's signs that there's, when someone says that, there's a sign there's some real shit going on.
Exactly. Like, yeah. You did not have a perfect childhood. Yeah. Right. Right. I'm the same. I break it down.
So, but like little things when, if he's sad, I would never, like, maybe Lola would be like, don't be sad, cheer up. And now I would never deny an emotion someone's having. So I'm like, oh, you're sad. What's going on? Oh, yeah, I understand. Or you're angry because you weren't able to play with that knife. I'm sure I understand that you're angry because you couldn't play with that knife. Right? So I'll kind of affirm his emotions versus denying them. Or here's another thing. I became a writer because I wanted to just not go to an office, among other things. Right? So I love working in my home. But I realize that if I'm in my home working and my child who's wants to play, and I'm like, no, I'm working. They're too young to understand that concept. It's a rejection of them. You're making something more important than them. So I got like a place outside my house to work. So when I'm home, I'm 100% with the child. When I'm not, I'm not.
That's great advice.
Little things like that.
Because he's two, right?
Yeah, two and a half.
Right, right. Okay.
Yeah, and here are the other things, like understanding that they don't have a prefrontal cortex yet. They're no. So when you're it kills me. You see so much bad parenting in the playground. Like, I don't know what to do. If people have suggestions, tweet me or tweet Emily. Like, there's so much bad parenting. I see like parents just fucking up their child and they're saying, don't do that. Don't do that. Stop that. You're hurting that.
Right.
The right of a child is to be spontaneous. So if you want them to be quiet in a restaurant, don't take them to the fucking restaurant.
Right.
Don't take them to the restaurant.
It's not going
to
happen.
Either they'll be loud in the restaurant or don't take them to the restaurant, but don't try to over control them, or keep them from running around or yelling and screaming. That's what they do. And let them have it's the one time in life where you can be totally spontaneous.
Tap you on the shoulder, and especially like in Malibu, I would think that I don't know. You probably see everything.
When someone's like, stop that, you're disturbing other people. Like, no, fucking let them run around. It's like the joy and happiness of a child is not disturbing.
Are you writing a parenting book next that you can't
talk
about?
Maybe I should, right?
I don't know. Yeah. I feel like you think you should.
Yeah,
like,
I would love to. If I could find a way to do it that would really reach the people who are over controlling, always need to be right, not letting the child have its emotional life, putting their own expectations and real needs. Here's another big, big thing people do. The job of the parent is to take care of the needs of the child, right? Very simple, but some parents think they're doing that, but the child's really taking care of their needs, right? They're sad, they hold the child, right? They're anxious, so they don't let the child do stuff to manage their own anxiety. So a lot of parents get their needs met through the child.
Right, and that was your experience.
Fucks up the child, that was my experience with my mom.
Their mom, yeah.
Yeah.
So... people, it's all about self-awareness. That's what we're talking about today. This was really, I love where we went here. It's okay we didn't talk about blowjobs.
Right.
We don't often talk about blowjobs. We do sometimes, but we don't need
to
on the show.
Here's
but
the deal.
I think it's great.
I think I can speak for your audience when they want to hear what you're interested in.
They do, and I'm really interested
and
in
And as you change, they want to go with
changing,
you.
So that's when you said what's going on with me, which we will. So Neil has a podcast called The Truth Barrel.
Right.
Is that Truth Barrel? Was there a colon? It's just Truth Barrel, right?
I don't think it's a colon.
No, there's a colon. The truth. Oh, that was your book. It was like a truth.
What
was it? An uncomfortable book. So we're talking about his book, The Truth, an uncomfortable book about relationships. And The Truth Barrel is your podcast with Gabby Reese, which I'm actually going to go do. We're going to get to a sauna for an hour and a half.
Right. That sauna is the Truth Barrel because it's 220 degrees.
It's literally
and, like,
barrel.
You can't lie when you're just fighting for your life in there.
I can't lie in the barrel, but we can talk about that, how I actually am fascinated by everything that you're saying. And I think my listeners are coming along with me on the journey because I have been opening up. I've been trained as Somatica sex therapist lately. I'm doing more body
really
work.
No way. That's
I've been
awesome.
Doing not hands-on stuff.
Right.
It's more of it's called Somatica sex therapy. It's more of we can touch, but over clothes. I'm not... I learned it more to help my listeners, but anyway, I am opening up more to the stuff on the show, and everyone's really appreciating it. So
And I think it's true. But here's the thing, and I think this goes for you and everybody else listening: is like you just have to go on your own journey, and if like all your audience knows of you is what you've done before, they don't know what you're capable of, what you're doing. So if you just keep giving them that thing they want. You're just going to keep doing what you've done before.
Yeah.
Whereas just go on your journey and you'll lose some, new ones will come in, but yeah. like you can't, people get frozen in their first moment of popularity.
Yeah.
It's a tragedy.
Yeah, I think that's a good point.
Right. I'm not frozen.
No, you're clearly not, because look at us. We didn't.
I know. Yeah. I love it. This was great, Neil. Neil Strauss. Okay, everyone can find you, neilstrauss.com.
Yeah, yeah.
Correct? That's the best way? Twitter? What's the best way? You like tweets?
Yeah, like whatever you like. Just Google me, right?
Google them, and this will all be on the website.
Right.
At sexwithemily.com. All right, this was awesome. Thank you, Neil, for being here. Thank you to my amazing team. Thanks, everyone, for listening. Was it good for you? Email me, feedback@sexwithemily.com.